Please turn with me to Acts chapter 1. I'll be reading verses 6 to 11. So, when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, It is not for you to know time or seasons that the Father had fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. This is the word of God.
Very good morning. I'm Veronica. I'm the mission pastor. It's my privilege to share the God's words with you today. Last two Sundays, notice there are a lot of mission stations going around. Can I know with a show of hands how many have went to the booth? Thank you very much for your involvement, and it's very encouraging. These are just some pictures that we have taken. I was very encouraged to see children, youth, young adults, and adults were involved one way or another. It tells me the efforts that missions committee put in are all worth it. The purpose of our mission month is for us to learn about mission and to catch the vision of God's mission. Eventually, for us to be involved in one way or another by praying, giving financially, and even going as well. Now, a few months ago, when I prayed about this sermon, I asked the Lord one question. What do you want me to do or say? So one day, I felt the Holy Spirit impressed upon my heart to do one thing in today's sermon, which you will see later. Today, I'll wrap up our missions month by looking at Acts chapter 1, verses 6 to 11. Before we begin, let us pray. Lord, I pray that the Spirit of our living God will come upon us this morning and stir our hearts for your mission, Lord. May the words speak forth from your servant's mouth will not return to you empty, but fulfill in the hearts of your peoples today. As we hear your word, may we respond in faith and courage to your calling for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I came across a children's missions book on Hudson Taylor. Hudson Taylor is the founder of the mission organization Overseas Missionary Fellowship, OMF. This was one of the children's books for Price Redemption. Now, two sentences from the book struck me. Hudson always believed there are three stages in every great work of God. First, it is impossible. Then, it is difficult. Then, it is done. Now, these sentences stick to my heart because it's really true. When we think about mission, you think, impossible. You know, it's hard to do. Now, when I was 26 years old, when I felt God call me to mission, I felt it was an impossible calling. Why? Because I was then a young, timid lady, okay? I was not a pastor of full-time staff. Normally we think, only full-time staff will go on mission. It's not me. But I was a Christian like you, coming to church, be in cell group, serve God, and God yet placed a burden for mission on me. So what did I do? I respond in faith, with fear and trembling. I find out what is going on, how to go, and finally talk to our church leadership about it. So in 1997, Amokyo supported me and sent me to Tajikistan for 2 years. I also had to quit my job and embed the cost of my financial security. Now, these 2 years, it was not easy, as I have to cope with cultural adjustments, homesickness, loneliness, learning to speak Tajik and learning to reach out to Tajik ladies. Okay, on top of this, Tajikistan was a war-torn country. Had to learn to deal with emergencies when the civil war broke out that time. It was difficult, but it was made possible because of the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. But when the 2 years were up, I realized it was done. It really done. Okay? Then 10 years later, God called me to mission again. And I went to East Asia for 4 years with OMF. Was it easy? No, it was tougher this time. But what seemed to be impossible and difficult, God had made it possible in the power of the Holy Spirit. The question is, why did I bother to respond to God's call to do mission work? Why do we need to involve in God's mission? What do you think? My first point is, we involve in God's mission because it remains unfinished. Our Missions Month theme this year is facing a task unfinished, and we have sang it just now. The chorus of this song say, if you go to all the world with kingdom hope unfurled, unfurled means spread out, no other name has the power to save but Jesus Christ the Lord. Now all, or mainly most of us here believe in Jesus Christ. We know Jesus saved us and He overcome the power of sin and death. We know we can share the gospel among our friends, our family members, even our neighborhood, you know, in workplace, in our schools. But why do we need to go to the world? Why can't we just share and stay in Singapore? In Acts chapter 1, Jesus, before he was ascended into heaven, gave his charge to his disciples in verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. This is God's mission. It defines what is God's mission, and Jesus has charged this mission to his followers. Jesus called his followers to bring the gospel to the places not known him. Where? In Jerusalem, where they live. And outside Jerusalem, to Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. In our context, it may probably look like to bring the good news to our friends, family members, to neighborhood, maybe PHS and the same primary, you know, in our community, society in Singapore, and then outside Singapore. Is this charge possible to accomplish, even to complete it? It actually looks impossible, right? To bring the good news to the end of the world. Why, you know, we know so many countries in the world, how are we going to reach the gospel to them? We may think somewhat is possible if we stay in Singapore, share with my friend, my family members, maybe in the community. But to the ends of the world is too far-fetched. But take heart, when Jesus gave this charge of Acts 1:8 to his followers, he gave his power too. Now look at this verse 8 again. In between the two you, there's an M. Actually, God gave us the Holy Spirit is to empower us to bring the gospel to the world around us. And this seemingly impossible task is to make possible by the work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus had never intended us to do by ourselves, by our human effort. So it has to be done by the Holy Spirit to make the impossible task possible to believe, for people to believe in Jesus Christ. We need to be faithful into Jesus' charge by telling the gospel to the people around us and into the world, people who have not heard of Jesus yet. Do you know there are many people here in the world who have not known Jesus yet? On the slide, you can see there are 4.65 billion people who have not known Jesus. And this sits in the 1040 window. Why 1040? It is 10 degrees north and 40 degrees north latitude. Okay, and this placket, this triangle that you can, rectangular you see, covers area of North Africa, Middle East, and Asia. And this is called the resistant belt, means resistant to the gospel. Now, this is home to the many unreached people in the world. And they reside there and mainly are the poor. Why? Because this Irish people group who have not been reached by the gospel geographically is not accessible to outsiders. That's why they are poor. They have no outside help. And not just that. They are situated in different, in dangerous places that making accessibility even harder. Now, the challenge for us today is this, and for churches and to Ang Mo Kio Presbyterian Church is to invest our resources in this unreached people group in the world, because God's mission is not finished yet. Then who will go to bring the gospel to the people who have not known Jesus yet? Now, in Romans chapter 10, 13, verse 15 says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How would they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? And it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news." These verses tells us that someone has to go and to tell the gospel so that they can believe by hearing it. But the question is, who will go? Is it me? Now, on 27th of March this year, I felt the Holy Spirit impressed upon my heart to do one thing in today's sermon. Without delay, I went to buy this patent. Okay, what is this for? I felt our Lord wanted me to pass the patent of our current generation of missionaries to the next generation of missionary in Ang Mo Kio Presbyterian Church. We need to pray and raise our next generation of missionary among us to be part of God's mission, as the task is not finished yet. Who among us are called to be our next generation of missionaries? Who will go and come? Who will go to the world? And who among us are called to come and take this baton from my hand to continue on the missionary race to bring the good news to the world? Are we called? If you are thinking me, impossible, right? We all would think this way, huh? Then we are wrong. Before Hudson Taylor became the founder of OMF, he was an ordinary Christian like us. He was a young chap who worked to continue on his education. He struggled like us to follow Jesus Christ. But yet God placed a burden of China upon him that caused him to seek God about it. Hudson Taylor never thought he would be the founder of a 150-year-old mission organization, OMF. And OMF is very strong today in mobilizing workers to the mission field. It is work of the Holy Spirit to make the impossible task that God gave to Hudson to become the missionary for China and to mobilize workers to work with him in China in the 19th century. It was indeed a very difficult task for Hudson Taylor, but God did it for him. I shared earlier on that Hudson Taylor always believed that there are three stages of every great work of God. First, it is impossible. Then it is difficult. Then it is done. It is work of the Holy Spirit to make the impossible and difficult to become possible. Likewise, God can make us the impossible to be possible in the power of the Holy Spirit. Do we believe? Amen? It is true that many of us are called to stay in Singapore, but very few are called to go. But whether you are called to short-term mission or long-term mission, I want to tell you this, is that you are very precious to God and to Ang Mo Kio Presbyterian Church. If you are the few who feel called by God to go, or God has laid upon your heart the burden for mission, be it short-term or long-term, now I will encourage you to respond to God today. I pray that the Spirit of our living God will move among us to stir our hearts for his mission and to be set us aflame for him and his work, and we will be uncomfortable sitting where we are right now. So who will go and be our next generation of missionary from Ang Mo Kio Presbyterian Church to bring the good news to the world? Who among us is called to come and take this baton from me? Later at the end of the sermon, I will have an altar call. I will ask again. And I pray the Holy Spirit will prepare our hearts to respond and to receive and stand up for His call. Indeed, there are still lots of work to be done. There are still billions of people who have not heard Jesus yet. God's mission in bringing the gospel to them is not finished yet. And God wants us to partner with Him in this glorious work, would we? Therefore, we need to respond and involve God's mission to please our God, for it is still unfinished. Now, while the disciples gathered before Jesus, knowing Jesus would be taken to heaven, they asked Jesus an interesting question, a question about Israel's future in verse 6. Let us look at it. So when they had come together, they asked Him, "Lord, will You this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" And Jesus said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by His own authority." Now, actually, these verses link to verse 9 and to 11. And when He had said these things, they were looking up, and a cloud took Him out of sight. And they were gazing into heaven, two angels appeared. And the angels say, "Why are you looking into the heaven? Jesus will come the same way as He was taken." Now, these verses tell us Jesus coming again in the future. And we know that Jesus' first coming happened when Jesus was born on earth. But Jesus will come a second time the same way, just like He was taken to heaven. So what does Jesus' return got to do with us? My second point, we involve in God's mission because Jesus is coming back again. When Jesus replies His disciples regarding the restoration of Israel at His time, Jesus' answer is not a question of restoration, but of time. Why? Because Jesus, in His 3 years of ministry on earth, He emphasized on spiritual kingdom, that is salvation of mankind. But the disciples was anxious to know when Jesus will come and restore them because they want to be free from their foreign oppression. So the disciples had not really understood the salvation is for all nations. Therefore, Jesus instructed them in verse 8, "Be My witnesses to Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth." So Jesus replied to His disciples' question in verse 7. He says, "It's not for you to know the exact time." Matthew 24:36 actually confirms this. It says that it's only God the Father knows. Even Jesus Christ doesn't know the actual time He returns to earth. Jesus teaches the disciples that even He Himself does not know, but only God knows, and He is in control. So meantime, what should the disciples do? The point Jesus drives at is this, that the disciples should not ask probing when's the time and the seasons of the future, but rather they are witnesses for Jesus Christ and to speak of the gospel at the present. Likewise for us now, we are not to focus to ask the date and time when Jesus comes again, but rather we should focus our energy in witnesses for Jesus, to tell the good news of Jesus to the people around us till Jesus comes again in the future. Now, majority of us are called to stay in Singapore, and we can be involved in God's mission right where we are here. Now, last two Sundays, as we visit the mission station, we learn about the work, the people group who have been involving, pray for the missionaries, and even our own missionaries. We can be involved in praying for that. And we can even give financially to the work of the missions doing around us. If you have noticed, every fourth Sunday of the month is our church mission Sunday. We collect mission offering and pray for the Mili project, Reverend Enke and his ministry in Central Thailand, and to OMF. So we can be praying constantly to set aside money at this point, fourth Sunday of the month, to give towards this mission work of God. And in our last prayer meeting, the weekly share about the Mili translation work, and it was encouraging. And we are thankful that our church has been involving and supporting this mission work for the Mili people. Thank you for all your generous giving. And I want to share with you one testimony that was shared. It says that this Mili believer said that, "I used to be a sorcerer, and I practiced black magic to deceive others so as to earn a living. However, deep in my heart, I knew that what I was doing was wrong and I was never happy. One day, someone shared the gospel with me. He told me Jesus loves me. He wants to forgive my sins despite all my evil and dishonest deeds. I was touched and agreed to pray and ask Jesus into my life as my Savior. Thank God Jesus saved this Malay person in one of ASEAN countries. You see, the gospel is for Jesus is for the nations. And on top of our mission collection, we also have the money missions fund pledge to support our own missionaries. We can consider to set aside some money to every month to contribute towards our missionaries in supporting them. And also nearing to the end of the year, we have Thailand mission trip. We support Reverend Engiat church planting work in central Thailand. We'll be teaching English, doing visitation, doing children's evangelistic concert. If you are interested, please come and look, talk to me. And on top of this, we also have this unfinished story missions course that will tell us why we go on mission. Okay, so it addresses what is God's mission, why is God's mission not finished, and what can we do to be involved. So welcome all of us to sign up. For those who are going for mission trip, will be signing up as well automatically. Now let us expect God to do great things among us as we involve in God's mission. And I believe we'll be blessed in one way or another, beyond our imagination. Well, the disciples were gazing into heaven as Jesus went. Behold, two angels appeared before him. Before them, the angels have come to turn their sadness into joy, to assure the disciples that Jesus even has ascended. He will direct them to finish the task in heaven till he comes again at God's appointed time. Take heart, Jesus is with us. He promised in Matthew 28:20 that he would be with us to the end of time. And Jesus wants us to partner with him in fulfilling God's mission, which remains unfinished. Would we? No, Revelation 7, verses 9 to 10 paints us the outcome of God's mission. After this, I look and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and people and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." It is God's desire to see his nation in the world to gather before his throne and worship him alone. Will God's desire be fulfilled when Jesus comes again? We have a part to play. If we feel that God has called us to mission, you can come and talk to me after the service or be around. Now, when I was preparing this sermon, I asked God, what would be the future of the church mission work? And I feel that God reminded me of a picture which he has shown me before. The picture God shown me is this, that we can adopt our missionary field to be the Ang Mo Kio Presbyterian Church mission field. We can raise our members who have burden for mission to partner with a missionary on the field and do the work together. We will invest our financial resources there. We want to bring our mission teams and members to help build God's work on the mission field so that our missionary will not be alone. If this is really the will of God for our church, then I believe his will be done, his timing for his glory. Now I will invite the mission team to come forward as we close. There are three stages in every great work of God. First, it is impossible. Then it is difficult. Then it is done. By the work of the Spirit, God will use us, the impossible, to do his mission. It will be difficult, but he will complete it till Jesus comes again. And we just need to respond in faith to this impossible call. Shall we all bow our heads as we reflect and respond to God personally? Let us all close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ. Your heart's desire to see all people and nations to worship together before your holy throne. O God, stir us and use us for your mission work, Lord. Many will feel it is impossible and difficult, but it is done. possible in the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, you saw your children standing in front of you, taking up the call. And I pray that, Lord, increase their faith through the Spirit, and may your will be done in their lives. As Ang Mo Kio Presbyterian Church will walk with them, journey with them to see them fulfill your mission call in their lives. Lord, we thank you. May we lift Jesus high in our involvement in our mission's work, for the task is not finished. God, we thank you. May you be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.